This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The Dr. Courtney Show is brought to you by Heroes for Healthy Pets. We're passionate about your pet's health.
Good day from California. Welcome to the Dr. Courtney podcast, and we have got a good one today. As you can probably guess, my name is Dr. Courtney. I'm a veterinarian. I co-hosted Pet Talk on Nat Geo Wild. I want to send a big thank you for all of you who are regular listeners and maybe some of you who are just tuning in for the very first time. I mean, I don't care where you are, driving, chilling at home, or, you know, I say welcome. Welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast where we get to laugh, love, and learn all about pets. And we have an excellent podcast today, and it's going to be a lot of fun. If you've never given serious consideration to who is going to watch your pet while you're gone, you're going to want to listen to our guest today. And this is a topic that is immensely important to people, but for some reason, we rarely talk about it. I mean, the topic today is similar in importance to choosing a good dentist or the right pediatrician or a safe daycare. I mean, millions of people may agonize over these types of decisions every day, but they rarely talk about them. And why don't we talk about them? You know, and it's, perhaps some people feel like they won't care, or maybe we'll be judged, or, you know, I don't even know who to ask. I mean, for those of you listening with kids, I mean, if you were to Google good babysitter in your area, you might be inundated with recommendations and apps and pages of reviews on good babysitters. And that's all on the first page. I don't know anyone who actually clicks on the second page when doing a Google search. And let's consider this. Americans spend about 10% of their household income a year on daycare. And nationally, the average cost for a week at a child care center for one child is $200. And if you have a full-time nanny, that could easily be $600. And some of you already know where I'm headed with this, but pet parents view their pets equally as important when it comes to daycare. I mean, at least I do, but I admit I'm a little biased. I mean, let's take my bias out of this and let's just consider for a second a New York couple that was discussed in the New York Times, who estimated they spent about $15,000 a year on a combination of dog walkers during the work days and dog camp during their couple's vacations. I mean, kennels cost, I don't know, about $50 a night. And most Americans, if you're lucky, get about between 10 and 14 days of vacation. And when you multiply that $50 by 10 days, I mean, you're looking at a $500 bill a year. Or if you get 14 days, $700 a year. These are figures from 2010, so prices may now be even higher. So when you consider that some pet parents are spending, you know, some parents are spending over $3,000 a month, that's a lot of money. And why do pet parents do this? Why do they spend this much money? Well, it's simple. They do it out of love. We love our pets, and that's why today we are going to be talking about pet sitting. When it's time to leave your pet in the capable hands of someone while you're at work or out of town, I mean, where do you start looking? What if your pet is uncomfortable around others? What if your pet can't be alone due to separation anxiety? That can be quite a conundrum for some pet parents. And in this podcast today, we're going to talk to someone who's very special, who's a true powerhouse in the field of pet caregiving. But before we talk to our exciting guest, I want to be sure to let everyone out there know how to get in contact with me. If you have any questions, thoughts, or topic discussions, you could reach me at Dr. Courtney DVM on Twitter or Instagram. Questions with positivity and love will get answered with priority, but not exclusivity. So we will literally answer anything. So right now, let's pause for brief moments from a word from a true hero on behalf of pets everywhere. And then let's reconnect on the flip side so I can introduce you to our incredible guest, and we'll talk about how to find the best pet setting.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
It's not just a sneeze. It could be the pathway to disease. Your dog is at risk for contracting dog flu. That's why it's important to vaccinate your dog for dog flu. Get your dog vaccinated today. Visit dogflu.com for more information.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, we're back, and I'm super excited today I'm amped because we're ready to do a deep dive into the world of pet sitting. And if you want to know something about pet sitting, this is the person you want to talk to. As I like to say, she will find the best pet sitter for your lovely critter. She is a marketing and communications manager for the world's largest educational association for professional pet sitters. She works with approximately 7,000 independently owned professional pet sitting businesses that support, promote, and recognize excellence in the professional pet sitting industry. She also serves as a spokesperson for one of my personal favorite holidays, PSI's Take Your Dog to Work Day, an international campaign celebrating the great companions that dogs make. And it also promotes pet adoptions. And I love that. So podcast listeners, please join me in welcoming Ms. Beth Stultz to the show. Welcome, Ms. Stultz.
Thank you so much. Glad to be talking with you today.
Yes, I'm naturally deferential. Can I call you Beth?
Please do. Please do.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Beth. You know, we're all really pumped today to talk about pet sitting because, you know, a couple of things. There are people who are listening right now who are thinking, you know, it's something that I never really gave a whole lot of consideration to. I just naturally gravitated towards a friend of mine or somebody who I knew, or maybe even somebody who just loves pets in general. And we're going to talk about today why you think that's either a good idea or not necessarily such a great idea. And we'll really get into it. But before we do that, would you mind doing something for me, part of the show we call Set the Scene. And Set the Scene basically is where you describe your upbringings, where in the region of the country or the world you grew up in, and your first contact with pets and how it kind of led you into this industry.
Sure. I'm from North Carolina, born and raised in North Carolina, and have been a pet lover for as long as I can remember. My father is a huge pet lover, and I also grew up in a more rural setting. So we've had pets since I was born, ranging from cats and dogs to goats and chickens and pigs. And so I always grew up around different types of pets.
That sounds like something made out of fairy tales. That sounds amazing.
It was an amazing childhood, and I've carried it into my adulthood as well. So in my home now, we have two dogs and a cat, a guinea pig, but also goats and chickens.
That's awesome. What are the dogs' names?
Timber and Tess are the dogs.
Timber and Tess. And because I am very partial to goats, this is something a lot of people don't know about me, but I absolutely love goats. How many goats do you have?
I have three goats.
Oh, my goodness. And do they eat T-shirts?
They will eat most anything if we're not careful. but yes, they do love T-shirts.
Oh, my goodness. I love that scene. Now, okay, so you grew up in that rural setting. And then how did that lead you to assume the position that you have today? Because literally, you were on the forefront of professional caregiving. And I think that's so important for everybody to know.
Sure. I think my career path was a bit serendipitous. After college, I knew I wanted to work with small businesses, particularly did have an interest in working in women-owned businesses. But I never really understood at that point that if I wanted to turn my love for pets into a career, you think veterinarian, which is a wonderful profession, or those types of careers. But I didn't know I had other options. I actually read the book Pet Sitting for Profit by Patty Moran, who is the founder of Pet Sitters International. And I was fortunate enough that the headquarters and the office of Pet Sitters International was in the area that I was living, and they had an open position. So I actually started out at PSI in the member services department right after college. And then almost, I'm going into my 15th year now, now the vice president of marketing and operations, but just found that I was able to combine my love of people and pets and work for a company that I just love.
Incredible. 15 years in the game. That is wonderful. Has it just flown by, or have you felt like, you know, man, this has been a long slog. We've come a long way.
We have come a long way, but it has flown by. It does not seem like almost 15 years have passed. So I certainly feel fortunate.
Through those 15 years, you have met some incredible people, I'm assuming, some incredible pets. And this is a question that I assume you get a lot. And that is a very simple one. Why consider a pet sitter at all? We'll talk about a professional pet sitter and PSI and the good work that they do, but why should people consider a pet sitter at all? I mean, couldn't we just leave our pets alone in the house?
You know, that's a great question. And I consider, you mentioned earlier, we think of pets as our children. And we so many people invest time in looking for quality childcare, but we need to do the same for our pets. If you're on vacation, of course, you certainly cannot leave your pets home alone. But even for long days of work, you have to think about, is your pet getting the exercise? Is it getting the companionship it needs to be happy and healthy? And so whether you're going on a trip or vacation, or your pet is just home alone for long days while you work, there's so much value in using a pet sitter.
You know, you're totally correct when you say exercise and companionship, because those are two characteristics that I think could actually prevent many of the sort of destructive behaviors that we see from pets. A well-exercised pet is a healthier pet. A pet with excellent companionship is a healthier pet as well. I guess my next focus would be, all right, well, if somebody says that makes sense, I want to get a pet sitter. You know, who should they pick? Because listen, I'll be honest with you, Beth. I have got a friend named Jamie. Jamie absolutely loves dogs and he's a great guy. You know, in fact, he loves them so much. Anytime he sees a dog, he'll happily receive that saliva shower that they'll give him when they're licking him in the face and things like that. And people see his love for dogs and they say, well, he'd be naturally a good pet sitter. But that's not necessarily the case, right? Just because you love animals, that doesn't mean you'd be automatically a great pet sitter, correct?
Exactly. What I say is a love for pets is a start, but it's certainly not all you need for a pet sitter. And I never like to be an alarmist, but I get that question a lot from pet owners. I have a friend who loves pets, or my neighbor's just great with my dog. Why isn't that enough? And I'll give you a couple of examples. What we like to explain is that someone can love pets, but that doesn't exactly mean they have the educational background or the business coverage to give you peace of mind. We had an example of someone who called us at Pet Sitters International looking for a pet sitter, but the situation that happened was she had let a friend who was a wonderful, well-intentioned friend care for her cat. She was gone on vacation, and the friend had come in one day, couldn't find the cat, looked around, eventually found the cat in the laundry area behind a washing machine. She had to shimmy the washing machine a bit to get the cat out, which everything was fine. Until the next day, she arrives and realizes that in doing that, she had dislodged the hose of the washing machine, flooded the entire second floor down into the first floor. So we're talking tens of thousands of dollars in home damage. And the situation is a professional pet sitter would have business coverage that could cover those types of events. So for just a liability perspective, the professional is able to offer coverage that a friend wouldn't. But the same is true for the pet care knowledge. A friend could love your pet, but could they maybe recognize signs of bloat? Or would they know how to respond to a pet emergency? Or apply first aid if your pet were injured? Or stop a dog fight if they were at a dog park? So there's some other health concerns like that that pet lovers can certainly love your pet and treat it like you were your own, but they don't have the same qualifications or coverage that pet sitters can provide.
That's an incredible story. And we think about dogs all the time who have various medical conditions. And because I'm on the veterinary side, and people don't realize this, but it's kind of rare for me to see a healthy pet. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I stay in this zone where I assume and naturally I'm inclined to constantly consider various medical conditions that pets may have. And some of them you just mentioned, bloat, a medical emergency that requires prompt medical attention, and a dog fight, again, requires an emergency visit in the greater plurality of cases. And so when it comes to dogs who may have more chronic conditions, a dog who is unfortunately overweight, or who has a low thyroid, or who has some immunocompromised issue, in your opinion, would a professional pet sitter be more appropriate choice for someone who wants the best care for their pet? Or do you think, well, in those situations, somebody that they know and like could be appropriate?
We definitely recommend pet sitters in those situations for pets who may have special dietary or exercise regimens. Particular health conditions need medications or injections at the same time every day. A professional can provide that sense of security that the job is going to get done right at the correct time. And sometimes we can't rely on friends in that same way.
No, you absolutely can't. And these types of people who do this really dedicate their lives. It takes a special type of person, I think, to dedicate their life to giving care to others, and particularly of a different species. So when you have a pet sitter who does that, I guess my question is, over the 15 years in your world, is there a certain personality profile or a certain type of person that you've met that you said, now this is a person who would make an excellent pet sitter?
I think there definitely are. There are certain traits. Obviously, a love for pets. We see pet sitters to be very selfless people. They really know that they're going into this career to dedicate their lives to pets and the pet parents. We also always caution people, though, who come to us and they say, you know, I love pets and I really think I want to be a pet sitter. They also have to know that there's a business side. There are grueling hours. There are going to be conditions that you don't expect. So it takes a really determined person. A person that's well organized, able to establish boundaries, and who's really willing to be a business owner, because you are caring for pets, but you also have to operate a business. And so definitely that passion for pets combined with perseverance, I think, and just the knowledge that it's a business. And so long hours, you're going to be working on holidays, weekends, the times when most people are off of work, that's when pet sitters have some of their busiest times.
You know, I think what you're saying is so vitally important because it affects most people. I think what you're saying affects most people in the pet care industry, particularly veterinarians cannot be excluded from that. I think about veterinarians and the rigors of veterinary school and how much information you are taught. But one of the characteristics that I think is vitally important that is really absent from the vet school experience is business acumen. The idea that you will, at some point in your career, you may want to run a business or you may be involved in a business. And so understanding that is really, really key. Now, does PSI provide informational resources to help people understand the types of business that they will be running if they choose to be a professional pet sitter?
We do. Our Pet Sitters International focuses on education. So all of our members have access to free webinars and other training tools. We have online courses. We have a certification. We have a member magazine. But we're constantly making new resources available that cover both pet care, up-to-date pet care and health information, but also best business practices and topics that pet sitting business or dog walking business owners need to be aware of.
Oh, that's excellent. We're going to talk about some of those resources because I had a chance to just kind of peruse the website. And I tell you what, it is chock full of really great information. And there may be people listening right now who want to join PSI. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in detail. But before we do that, I just wanted to talk about your idea and your opinions on pet safety. Recently, we've seen thrust again into the news that canine influenza is really sweeping certain parts of the nation, and it's turning out to be very scary for a lot of pet parents out there. An example that comes to mind is pets that are at dog shows, and you have a judge who is evaluating the mucous membranes and the gums of several dogs in a row, and they'll touch the gums, which is a known contact area where virus likes to hang out, and then they'll move from dog to dog to dog to dog. And for those dogs who are in that high-risk social situation, they may be at risk for contracting an infectious disease. I guess my question to you is, how important is the role of vaccination with a pet sitter, a professional pet sitter who may have constant contact with multiple pets? And if somebody is on the pet caregiving side of the industry, do you recommend that pets be vaccinated and protected in that manner?
That's a great question. It's a topic that, as you mentioned, has been in the news so much lately. And so we've had our pet sitters reach out to us and want more information. We recently hosted a webinar on the topic that Merck presented to give our pet sitters information on what they should look for, what precautions they should take. They are going, while pet sitting allows the pets to stay in their own home, pet sitters do go from home to home. So biosecurity has become of increasing concern. And I have recently heard from our pet sitters, some pet sitters who are now requiring their pet sitting clients to have the dog flu vaccine so they can make sure that the pets in their care are protected.
That makes total sense. I mean, because at the end of the day, what we want is, as pet parents, what we want is safety. That's the key word here. We are placing our beloved pets in the hands of someone else, and we're hoping that everything will be fine. And the notion that we can prevent them from any accidents, getting trapped behind a washing machine or escaping from the house and being hit by a car or something like that, all to find out that something invisible but dangerous is affecting our pets, like the potential for a virus or infectious disease, is not something that anybody really would want for their pets. I think that following that same vein of safety, are there certain things that professional pet sitters think about when entering a new home? Do they essentially have a checklist in their head as to the things that they should look for, ask for, in terms of keeping a pet safe?
Sure. It actually starts even before the first pet sitting assignment. So we recommend that all pet sitters and pet owners who will be using a pet sitter to have an initial consultation in the client's home.
That's genius. I love that.
So when they meet the pets and the parents for the first time, they're able to, A, get a sense of the pet's behavior, medical history, and they document that information so they know of any possible previous injuries, any types of health concerns to be aware of. They also ask about the pet's behavioral history, any bite history. So pet sitters are able to come to the pet sitting assignment fully prepared. But also, while at the home for the first time, we encourage our pet sitters to do a quick home assessment. Look around the pet parent's home. Are there any things that concern you? Look in the backyard if it's fenced in. Do you see any holes, areas of escape? Look at the home. Are there any poisonous items that may be within pet's reach? And so pet sitters, in part of their training, learn how to look around the home, identify any red flags, and address those with the pet parents before they take a pet sitting assignment.
I love that idea on being well-trained for the scenario, being able to recognize potential dangers before they happen. And that sort of harkens back to my friend Jamie, who loves dogs, but likely doesn't have, as you said, the educational background or the training to recognize when something could be potentially dangerous, and certainly doesn't have the business acumen to understand that you will be running an independently owned and operated business. So those three things, educational background, the training, and the business acumen, I think are so vital in understanding what a professional pet sitter is all about. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Pet Sitters International. Actually, not a little bit. I want to talk a lot about it. But let's take a brief break right now. And when we come back, we'll talk all about the excellent organization that you're a part of and why pet parents, pet lovers, and especially pet sitters should consider being involved in this organization. Will you stay tuned with us?
I sure will.
Oh, thanks so much.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Victoria Sunwall, and I'm the Community Education Coordinator at Texas Litter Control, whose mission is to educate the public on the importance of spaying and neutering companion animals and to provide low-cost sterilization options. You can support Texas Litter Control by donating your non-cash items, like cars, stocks, and real estate. Please visit texaslittercontrol.org to learn more.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. We're back with Beth Stultz. She is the marketing and communications manager for the world's largest association for professional pet sitters. She works with over 7,000 independently owned member professional pet sitting businesses. And she also runs we were mentioning, one of my favorite holidays, Take Your Dog to Work Day. It's been an absolutely scintillating conversation, and we've covered a lot of ground in terms of why should someone get a pet sitter, what type of personality profile makes a good pet sitter, what are some of the safety concerns when you are considering someone to watch your pet or having a professional pet sitter. But I think what's very important to talk about now is something that many people are becoming more aware of. There's a growing awareness, but not enough people are aware that there is a organization that is the hub of professional pet sitting, and that is the Pet Sitters International. My question to you, Beth, is why is it so important, in your opinion, to have the pet sitting profession have this as the centerpiece, as the hub for the community of pet sitters? Why is Pet Sitters International so important as an organization?
You know, when we talk about the importance of PSI in a professional organization for professional pet sitters, it really goes back to the pets, and that we believe the pets deserve the best possible care. So in order for them to receive that, we want to have highly educated professional pet sitters. And that's PSI's focus. We are a source for those who maybe love pets. They know they want to pursue this profession, but aren't sure where to start. And so we provide them with the business tools they need, educational resources that they need at every stage of their business, so that people who have a passion for pets can pursue a career in pet sitting that's successful and profitable, but also so that they're able to provide the best possible care to the pets that they service.
That's a great point you're making, because what you're seeing is a progression. What you're seeing is that people are demanding and better care for their pets, and they have an appetite and a need for outstanding medical care, outstanding health care, outstanding caregivers for their pets. And when I was growing up, a lot of nurses in veterinary hospitals were young. I was young. I was coming out of high school and I was watching a lot of pets. And now I see just how sharp and bright a lot of the veterinary nurses are. And I realize it's not the same profession. It's not the same industry. There is a lot of education that is now dominating the industry and really elevating that level of care. Do you find that through your 15 years in the industry that there's been a growth in pet sitting profession and the need and the want and the desire from pet lovers everywhere for a professional aspect to this?
I do. You know, as you mentioned, I think we see it across the pet industry at large. There have been so many advances in the pet industry, and we see that for pet sitters too. Pet sitters are realizing there's now access to information to make them a better, more qualified pet sitters. And also, we're excited that we see pet owners understanding that now, and they realize that, you know, oh, I don't have to rely on my neighbor or my friend. I can get a pet sitter, and not only a pet sitter, but a professional pet sitter who's taking advantages of educational opportunities for continuing education, who is well qualified, fully covered as a business. And so it's a really an exciting time because 20 years ago, people didn't know what a pet sitter was. But now we see that they do. And they're also understanding that there are certain standards for professionalism that they should look for.
Better, more qualified, better trained, business minded. These are all the characteristics of a professional pet sitter. Why should someone who's listening right now and saying, I pet sit, and to be honest with you, I kind of love it. This is something I'm seriously interested in taking to the next level. What advice would you have for them about joining PSI?
We would definitely invite them to join PSI. And we see PSI as a one-stop shop for professional pet sitters or dog walkers. Through the support at PSI, they're going to get access to the business coverage that they need, from insurance and bonding to background checks, which are important for pet sitters, and other business tools. But they're also going to be able to be plugged into those educational resources from our webinars, our magazine, online trainings, certification. And we also always tell pet sitters that there's strength in numbers. Pet sitting can really be, in a sense, an isolating job if they don't have staff members. They're working with pets all day and they love it, but who do they speak with if they have questions about their business or they're not exactly sure how to handle a specific client situation? And so membership in PSI, in addition to the business and educational components, also offers a support system that's really beneficial to professional pet sitter and dog walker business owners.
No person is an island. I love that. We all need support. And, you know, when I think about this, I say to myself, this is absolutely key because there's so many people out there who don't even know where to go. And when you talk about webinars, that's the one thing that I noticed people will engage with because they can watch it multiple times or they can take notes or they can use that as a reference anytime they run into an issue. Are there, just to put a punctuation at the end of this sentence for pet sitters, are there certain things that you would ask a potential professional pet sitter to determine their interest in joining the industry? Like basically to say, as you had mentioned before, a love for pets is not enough. Are there certain things that you would ask somebody, say, all right, you are thinking about being a professional pet sitter. Here are some things that I would like you to consider. Here are some questions I have for you. Do you have any of those?
You know, we do. Again, you mentioned the love for pets, and it does go so much beyond that. So one thing I always like to tell potential pet sitters is that we hear so many say, I love working with pets. I want to work with pets all the time. And I say, but are you also willing to work with people? Because it is still a customer service job. You have to deal with the pet parents first. So you still have to have people skills to be a professional pet sitter or work in any part of the pet industry. I also ask about their willingness to do the long hours, the holidays, the weekends that I mentioned earlier. And also, are they in a position to be committed to ongoing education? Because the pet industry is always changing, pet care practices, pet health and behavior information. They have to be willing to stay up to date on that information if they want to provide the best possible service. And then one more point I always like to mention to any potential pet sitter is that a component that many don't think of, and I know that veterinarians experience this as well, is that they need to understand they become so attached to pets and their care. So when pets pass, clients move away, there's really a sense of loss that pet sitters and dog walkers feel. And so they do need to be prepared for that aspect of the job. It's a wonderful career. They get to spend time with dogs, cats, and other types of pets. But it does involve dealing with pets in poor health and pets that pass away. And that's something that some new pet sitters don't often think about.
So it's not just playing with puppies and kittens all day? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. Speaking of playing with puppies, I love PSI's registered holiday, which is Take Your Dog to Work Day. I love this concept. Could you just explain to people how this got started and when they can celebrate this amazing holiday?
Sure. PSI created Take Your Dog to Work Day in 1995. So this year will actually be the 20th annual Take Your Dog to Work Day. But we were looking for a unique way to give back to the pet community from which our members earn their living. And so the purpose of Take Your Dog to Work Day, we asked employers, companies to allow pets in the workplace for this one fun summer Friday every year, because it's a way to celebrate dogs, but to also promote their adoptions. So companies often work with local shelters or animal rescues to make the celebration a way to raise awareness about adoptable pets in the area.
That's incredible. If somebody's celebrating Take Your Dog to Work Day, can they just put up signage and advertise their business and that sort of thing without giving PSI attribution? Or is it important, considering it's a registered trademark, that they recognize PSI in some way?
Because it is a registered trademark, we want everyone to participate by celebrating at their workplace. Any commercial use is something they would have to have permission for, to use Take Your Dog to Work Day for promotions or commercial intent. But we encourage everyone to go to takeyourdog.com. There we have information about the day, how to plan their event.
I'm so sorry. Would you mind just repeating that website? Because there's people listening right now who really want to do this.
Exactly. Takeyourdog.com. We'll have a toolkit available there. It gives step-by-step instructions for planning an event, sample forms, a sample dogs at work policy, and just best practices for planning an event. It also addresses some of employers' concerns they may have. And so it's a great resource for anyone that's planning a Take Your Dog to Work Day celebration.
That's wonderful. I mean, obviously, because I work in a veterinary practice, every day is like Take Your Dog to Work Day. But it's such a beautiful thing when you bring a dog into any environment, you know, when you bring a dog into the workplace or even just walking down the street, I'll see people react to dogs in ways that I think is fascinating. Particularly, they'll give an emotional reaction to a dog as if they have never seen a dog. And I know that they've seen a dog, but the look on their face is just, oh my goodness, I want to be next to that dog. Do you see that sometimes too when you go places?
Yeah, we do. And the same applies to Take Your Dog to Work Day. When we have companies that ask us, you know, how do staff members normally handle the day? I say, you really get to see a whole new side of your employees and they get to interact in a whole new way, because you may not know that Dan in accounting is such a huge lover of poodles, or you may not know that he has a chihuahua at home. And so you really get to interact with people in such a special way when you see them with their pets.
It really is. And that's the key here, I think, when you're talking about caregiving for pets. My take on every aspect of this industry, and I'm so glad that you were able to detail the professionalization of pet sitting in general, and we get to parallel that with other aspects in the pet industry. Because I think at the heart of it, it's that emotional connection. I think at the heart of it, it's that human-animal bond. And when you talk about, as you so colorfully sort of summarized, the educational background requirements, the business acumen that you need, the training that's involved, all of that comes down to one thing, in my opinion, and that is giving the pet the best care, putting the pet first, and the love that we have for pets. Would you say that is the bottom line when you are thinking about a professional pet sitter, that you need all of the education, all of the training, the business acumen, but when you start, the foundation should be a place of love?
Exactly. And I've always told our members that it's the love that motivates you to do all those other things. Our love for pets make us strive to have the best in education, the best in professionalism, because we love them and know that they deserve the best care.
Oh, this is absolutely fantastic. Listen, I got to be honest with you, Beth. I could literally talk to you all day about this, but you and I are just crazy busy taking care of pets. So we're going to have to reconnect and just do a part two of this. Would you ever consider that?
Definitely. Sounds great.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you again for joining me on this podcast. This has been fantastic. We got a chance to talk about so many good things, particularly just the profession of pet sitting and Pet Sitters International, and what an amazing organization it is. We got to talk about just what the foundational aspects of being a great pet sitter are, and that's a place of love. And then what I enjoyed the most was just hearing about education, the training, and the business acumen involved in the pet sitting industry. Thanks again for joining me. I really appreciated the conversation.
Thank you.
Okay, fantastic. That was an amazing, scintillating conversation. I got a chance to talk to Beth Stultz. She's the Marketing Communications Director. Again, just to repeat, for Pet Sitters International. If you are a pet sitter or you even considered one, being one, or if you're considering looking for one, jump on petsit.com, go to Pet Sitters International, or you can just simply Google Beth Stultz and kind of do your research from there. But it's been absolutely fantastic getting a chance to talk with her. And for all my podcast listeners, thanks for tuning in and certainly join me next time. I look forward to having another amazing podcast. And just remember, there's nothing stronger than the human-animal bond.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.